Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael. For this segment, I've got a guest. It's Bill Murphy. He's a gentleman from the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, and he and his buddies have been trying to get the federal government, United States federal government, to disclose what's happening with the gold. Does anybody really know what's going on? That's one of the things that folks are trying to deal with. I'm going to talk about this issue today. The issue of the day is the financial crisis that was occurring, let's say 2007 even, but not being reported in the American mainstream media. I'm going to be quoting some things today from the International Monetary Fund's little newsletters that they put out to those who are paying attention to what the International Monetary Fund's doing. And they were reporting a financial crisis, especially with regard to the false prices of housing and things like that, the credit markets and things like that, late 2007 and into the early part of 2008. And we didn't get any wind of the financial crisis that was not just looming ahead of us, but that was actually happening. And we were being entertained by mid-flight entertainment while our plane was in a nosedive. That's what was going on. I'm going to be interviewing Bill Murphy from the Gold Antitrust Action Committee. It's well worth listening. This segment is going to be a keeper. Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael with my Faith and Freedom Show. I'm going to talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, a basis of right versus wrong. It's kind of scary for talk radio, but sometimes you got to deal with that, folks. You're going to have to deal with everybody. But today I've got a very important discussion. There's something that is off the radar, but I think it's absolutely vital to the issues of the day. Everybody's concerned about the economy, the stock market, the cap and trade, and all these other kind of things. But in the background, I think it's a very fundamental thing that we need to be looking at, indicators, and there are people who are concerned about what's happening and taking care of those things that are off the radar. So today I've got Bill Murphy. Bill Murphy is with the Gold Antitrust Action Committee. This is not an infomercial to sell you on gold. What we're going to do is find out what Bill Murphy is doing, why he's doing it. Eventually, we're going to go on and talk about why it's important to you. So thank you very much, Bill Murphy. I was actually looking at my lawyer's website for something else, and I stumbled upon your Gold Antitrust Action Committee's Freedom of Information Act claim. And I'd like to know, basically, I think if you tell us about why that started, it's at the same time you going to tell us about your organization. But what's the status of that? What has come of that so far?
First of all, the Gold Antitrust Action Committee was formed in January of 1999. It's going to be almost 10, 11 years ago now, to combat a gold cartel, which is suppressing the price of gold and is still active, even though they're getting their butt handed to them. This cartel consists of the Fed, the Treasury, the U.S. government, and their bullion banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, which is the Fed banks, and Goldman Sachs, which is the Treasury's bank, and some other people like the Bank of England and so on. And they've been actively suppressing the gold price, which has directly led to some of the financial problems that we have today. And as part of stuff we've been doing for 10 years, and by the way, much of the stuff that we've uncovered is all in the public record. It's not so much a conspiracy story, but a fact story that my group has diligently worked on over the years. And part of our efforts have been to go to the Fed and the Treasury and ask them the status about U.S. gold, and they stonewall us. The Fed specifically gave us a response on Mickey Mouse stuff and redacted or left out something like 400 pages. So we went after them on an appeal, and Kevin Warsh is on their Federal Open Market Committee, one of the board directors, came back and said to us on the appeal that to our lawyers it was quite appropriate. We're asking them about something esoteric called gold swaps, that there's an exemption in the Freedom of Information Act which said it's very proper for them not to disclose this information, which, of course, is exactly what we wanted to know, because we believe that a great deal of the U.S. gold reserves, which is supposed to be something like 8,134 tons, is compromised. It's gone. And as you may know, Ron Paul is a great American, something like 300 congressmen to sue audit the Fed, and they're fighting a tooth and nail. And that's one of the main reasons why. If people realize that most of America's gold is not there, it's gone via various swap operations, the dollar will collapse.
So that was the basis of the Freedom of Information Act was, there's Fort Knox. Is it empty?
Yes.
Are the lights off and nobody's home? And
that's right.
So essentially at this point, and the other thing that I've been looking at is some of the activity with the International Monetary Fund and some of the things that are going on. We can hopefully talk a little bit about some of their giving, I guess it was 403 tons of gold that they had planned on selling without affecting the market. And that was interesting. But I guess part of the information is how much gold is sitting in Fort Knox. How much of it was given over to the IMF, and when it was given over to the IMF for that backing of the IMF operations way back when, is it actually sitting there somewhere? Is it in Fort Knox? How are they accounting? That's essentially what you're trying to get down to.
Well, that's part of it. It's really complicated. You've asked a very good question. First, let me finish up on the Fed. We are now going to sue the Federal Reserve in federal court.
Okay.
To try to get this information. Doesn't mean the court will decide with us, but we're going to the next step. Regarding IMF gold, and they're supposed to have something like 3,000 tons, and they've been scaring the market for years, part of the tactic of the gold cartel, that the IMF's going to sell 400 tons of gold, and it's going to, every once in a time, hit the price, and the price will go down. Well, the last time they started talking about it, it didn't do anything, and then when they found out they actually got the approval, it did nothing, and then, lo and behold, India, which is one of the official depositories for the IMF gold, along with Britain, France, and U.S., buys 200 tons of it.
Right.
Now, whether that was gold they just got back as part of a lease program or sale, I mean, we don't know, but it didn't hit the market, and we don't think any of the rest of it will either. So, and then the question is the gold double counted? Countries deposited gold for the IMF are, and then, I don't know, supposed to be in these depositories, but nobody's ever audited any of this stuff. There hasn't been an audit of Fort Knox gold since 1955. Can you imagine anything not being audited by an outside agency since 1955? Nobody knows.
Except, and what, as you say that, it makes me think of something. There's a select group of people somewhere on the planet that actually know where the gold is, who's got what, and what's really going on. But I don't think that includes the Congress. It doesn't include the Treasury Department. It doesn't include a whole lot of people.
Well, I would differ with you there a little bit, David. I think
you think?
They know it cold. Congress is clueless, or if they do know, they won't talk about it. We've been to Congress. We've been to the Speaker of the House. We've done all kinds of things in the proper way, as Americans are supposed to do the right thing. It's been nothing but stonewall and lies. But what your listeners might be interested in, I believe what's happening right now, is what we've been talking about for a decade. There's not enough central bank gold cartel gold left to meet a supply-demand deficit. And now there's a lot of claims on the same gold, and what you're seeing is a short squeeze. The gold has gone up something like, almost 3 weeks in a row with barely interruption except for one big vicious one-day correction in which there was some panic and or forced panic over this problems in Dubai and their debt situation. So you're going to people think gold is expensive at 1,200, but it's cheap. If it had kept pace with inflation, it would be 2,300, and the only reason it's 1,200 is because of this gold price suppression scheme. I've been saying since our conference in the Yukon in August 2005, gold's going to $3,000 to $5,000 to clear the market. So there's a long way to go, and that's maybe way too low, but that's where it's going.
Well, I'm going to, and you could run with that discussion forever, and I think it's quite fascinating because I have read several articles, and when we're offline, of course, I'll be going on to talk about this, probably just reading right out of some of the articles you've written, so some of that information we can cover. This is something that nobody has been able to explain to me. In 2008, April 2008 is when the IMF decided they were going to sell that 403 tons. 200 is going to India. And I thought at that time, okay, it's not going to affect the market, but it's going to affect the market. It's public. It's there. So it's going to do something. They were just supposed to sell it whatever the market rate was at whatever date somebody bought it or sold it. And so now, at the same time, Bear Stearns is going under. Nobody's really paying attention to it. And then by July 2008, there was enough information out being reported overseas, not in the U.S., about AIG and other banking industry organizations that were collapsing. And it's showing up overseas, not in the U.S. In July, I said to a friend of mine at Bank of America, I said, I'm just a radio guy. How come I can see the biggest collapse in financial history is right in front of our face. It's not on the news. And of course, it showed up late in September. But what I found fascinating, when I look at the gold charts back in September of 2008, you've got it had this rise. It went up to 900 or 1,000 in 07, and then it was staying up there. And then it drops. I got a chart in front of me just above $700 an ounce, right when I would think it would be skyrocketing because there's people that I would think know the bottom is falling and would be shifting these paper or other assets into something tangible. I mean, I've never heard anybody else talk about that, but looking at this chart, I just think that had to be some kind of manipulation.
That's what they have done for a decade. The worse the news, the more they go into action. I mean, that's all I do all day long. For 10 years, it happens every time. It happens on bad economic reports. If there's disasters in the world, the first thing they do, the gold cartel, is bomb the gold price to deflect attention from the problems, and they don't want people running to gold. The only reason gold is at 1,200 plus at this point in time is because they can't do anything about it. They have they run out of ammunition to do what you said you just noticed. Back then, it was ludicrous. And, of course, it says they've run out and it ran its course, and now people are realizing, you know, what's going on. And in terms of the financial situation in the world, and everyone's flocking to gold because they don't trust paper currencies, not just the dollar, but other currencies. And by the way, regarding what you were noticing, you couldn't believe what people didn't notice what presented what was happening. GATA, and people can go to www.gata.org. And
G-A-T-A, okay.
Put a full-page color ad in the Wall Street Journal for $264,000, January 31st, 2008, in which we talked about catastrophe coming, full-page color ad, disaster coming, and we talked about $3,000 to $5,000 gold. It's all there, and nobody raised an eyebrow, so why somebody like us would do something like that?
Well, that was our first segment with our interview with Bill Murphy from the Gold Antitrust Action Committee. What we're going to do... Oh, by the way, I just want to say something. He made mention just before we went to the break that he came out with an article in January of 2008 warning of financial catastrophe. I just went to the International Monetary Fund website, and one of their news articles, IMF developing new tools to find financial trouble spots. This was January 15, 2008. Let me read the opening paragraph. The IMF is developing new applications for stress tests and other quantitative risk assessment models to help identify financial system vulnerabilities in member countries, listen to this, in the wake of the U.S. subprime crisis. In the wake, hear that? The wake, in the tail, in the vortex of this thing that had already happened, as far as they were concerned, a subprime crisis. And that was January 15, 2008, that the International Monetary Fund was talking about a past tense, from a past tense perspective of a U.S. subprime crisis. There was a crisis going on, folks, and again, we were being distracted by mid-flight entertainment while our financial plane globally was in a nosedive. Let's pay attention. Thank you for tuning into the show, Faith and Freedom, because this is very important. We're going to deal with these issues substantively. It's a duty of religion. This part of loving my neighbor as myself, in response to my love to God, is to even serve by bringing up silly things like this that could drive some people crazy, but are vital. We're going to try to get on board with this stuff before we're having a crisis rather than looking back on it. You can check out my website, davidallencarmichael.com will get you there, faithfreedoms.org. And when we come back after this next break, we're going to be listening to the second segment of my interview with Bill Murphy from the Gold Antitrust Action Committee. Keep tuning in.